We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God coming to you from the studios of WMIE 91.5 FM. And as they used to say in show business, the show must go on. And so today I am here. I do believe that I am on the mend, and my voice, I apologize if I sound like a bass singer in a Southern Gospel quartet, but that's where we are today. But we're going to use the voice that we have. The scripture says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So I do praise the Lord that I am able to be here today to bring you the word of God. And we're going to go back to Genesis, the 42nd chapter today. So if you wanted to be turning there or looking it up there on your iPhone app, I was at a conference last week, and the description of a businessman is very active in the YouVersion Bible app. And he was just describing how many different languages they have translated that app into, to where the word of God is able to reach into countries that the word has not been able to get there before. And so we're very thankful for that. So I do want to remind you, first of all, I am thankful that I'm not preaching this weekend. I give my voice a little bit more of a chance to recover. So, but tomorrow morning from 9 o'clock until 12:30, 1 o'clock, somewhere in there, we're going to be having a leadership, a free leadership seminar at our church. I just spoke with the speaker, Duke Matlock, yesterday, and he's planning on being there. We're going to be serving a free breakfast and a free lunch, and it's a free seminar that is going to make you a more effective leader. I don't see how anything could get any better of an offer than that. We're going to be in our sanctuary, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. We would love for you to come out and be a part of that. Doesn't have to be church leadership. If you want to be a better husband, a better employee, a better boss, a better servant in the community, however you want to improve your leadership capabilities, we want to invite you to come out and be a part of that. He will also be speaking for us on Sunday morning. So very excited about what God is going to do. And if you are, you know, if you've got an interest in becoming a deacon or an elder in your church, or a better Sunday school teacher or better preacher or whatever, we would like to invite you to come out. There's no obligation. There's no strings. There's no visitors cards or anything like that. It's just a thing that we are offering to our community. And, you know, business, church, whatever, we would, we'd just like to extend this invitation to you. So that will be, Saturday morning, beginning at 9 o'clock. There's going to be breakfast beforehand. There'll be coffee. Then there'll be lunch a little bit later in the day. So come and be a part of that if you would. Today, we're going to take you back to Genesis, the 42nd chapter. Genesis, the 42nd chapter, and it says in the end of verse number 20, and they did so. Then they said to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, did I not speak to you, saying, do not sin against the boy, and you would not listen? Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us. But they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter. And he turned himself away from them and wept. Then he returned to them again and talked with them, and he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. So, I want to start off by talking about Reuben, and he does something that I absolutely hated when I was growing up. It was one of those phrases that just grated on me, and it goes something like this: "I told you so. I told you so." I used to hate it when people would send me on a mission that they didn't want to go on. And then when I would come back and report to them on how it went, then they would say, "You should have said this," or "You should have done this." And my philosophy was always, if you wanted it done or wanted it said in such a way as that, then you should have you should have gone and done it yourself. If you're going to micromanage the way the situation is done, then go and do it yourself. But all of these years, and, you know, we talked about this on yesterday's broadcast, they have been living with the guilt of this, and make no mistake about it. Reuben says that it is, "We are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us." And so today I just want to ask you, are your eyes open to people who are going through terrible circumstances, and it's not just affecting them physically, but it has gone deeper than that? It is now affecting their spirit, their soul. It's weighing on their emotions, their thought processes. It's even negatively affecting their health, their finances. You and I, we need to be looking at that, and instead of killing our wounded, as the church is sometimes guilty of doing, we should be looking for ways of delivering. And so Reuben says, look, we're all bearing the brunt of this act that we did decades ago, but I just wanted to go on the record that I was telling you, don't be sinning against the boy. We recognized how desperately he was pleading with us, and we wouldn't hear. We would not hear. There is a distinct difference between an unwillingness to hear and an inability to hear. There is more than ample evidence to support Jesus, his teachings, and the identity of who he is, that he is the Son of God. There is more than enough evidence. That's why when he was speaking about the rich man who died and Lazarus who died, who went into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man cried up, and at the end of the discourse, he said, "Well, send him back to my brothers so that they would hear, because I don't want them to come and experience the torment of this place." Isn't it amazing that when Jesus tells this story, and by the way, he never identifies that as a parable. When he speaks of that, he speaks of it as an actual historical event. We tend to think of it as a parable. And I want you to know, when Jesus says there is a very real heaven to gain and a very real hell to shun, we need to take him at his word. He knows his creation better than anybody else. He knows that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was never prepared for people to experience that. It is only by their choice that they end up going there. And so people who are in hell are highly motivated evangelists. They are not looking. See, the devil is in hell, and he's looking to bring as many people along with him as he can. But people who go there, all of a sudden, their compassion, the urgency, the reality that they have been deceived and there is no hope for them, all of a sudden, they are highly motivated. I remember one of the first messages I ever preached as a youth pastor was, let's learn from the rich man in hell. He wasn't there because he was rich. He was there because he had shunned the gospel. He was there because of his own choices and his own actions. And so as a result of that, he was highly motivated in making sure that nobody else goes there. And so I want to ask you today, are you that highly motivated? Am I that highly motivated? One of the reasons I'm here today is not just so that, because the show must go on, but because there may be people who are listening to me right now, and you've never heard that Jesus has a way of escape for you. If you are right now in anguish of soul, I've got news for you. Jesus is there and wants to deliver you. He has his eye upon you. He is watching you. He is waiting for you. He is moving heaven and earth so that you will reach out and cry out for him, and that he will come and reside with you. But the other thing that Reuben says here in verse number 21 is that because they had a refusal to hear, they wouldn't hear. They completely ignored his cries for help and assistance. He says, therefore, this distress has come upon us. Now, I want you to know that the scripture says that as long as the earth endures, there shall be seed time and harvest. The New Testament says you reap what you sow. There are a lot of people, even Christians, who believe in an unscriptural process known as karma. Karma is not a Christian concept. It is a heathen concept. And so let me just teach you a little distinction between the two. It is true that there are consequences for our actions. That if we do something, if we treat someone badly, there can be consequences that come as a result of that. What type of seeds are you going to sow? But I want you to know that the gospel says that God is the Lord of the harvest. And if we have sown bad seed, that we need to pray the Lord of the harvest. And this is not an original thought. I heard it in one of our Sunday school classes a number of years ago. It's one of those things that stood out to me. And that is, if you have been sowing the wrong type of seed, to pray the Lord of the harvest for crop failure. To pray the Lord of the harvest for crop failure. You know, in the Midwest where they do a lot of farming, if the harvest is not going to be what they want it to be, they will go out there, and instead of just allowing it to run its cycle and grow and things like that, they will actually go out there with their plows, and they will plow the crop away. They will uproot it. They will haul it away. They will get it out, and they will start and begin to plant something that is going to thrive in that environment. The good news of the gospel is that God is a God of mercy. He is a God of forgiveness. He's long-suffering. It doesn't mean that all of our consequences will be taken away from us. David experienced a lifetime of challenges in his own family because of the sin that he committed with Bathsheba and having her husband Uriah killed. There was a sexual sin that took place between brother and sister. Murder that took place between brother and brother, and rebellion that rose up between son and father, which resulted in Absalom's death. There was a lot of problems that resulted from that, even though David was forgiven. So I want to tell you today that a lot of people get hung up on asking the why. Why is this happening to me? Several months ago, there was a conversation with a person, and they said, I don't know why I'm going through all of this. I thought I was a better person than this. And I just want to remind you that whatever you're going through, like right now I'm going through this vocal thing, I'm not asking, you know, why am I going through this? I just want to get over it. And so what I did was years ago when I was going through a situation similar to this, I was extremely hard-headed, extremely stubborn. I've said that I have the gift of stubborn, which, by the way, my children's leader, he found that extremely funny. He actually recorded that and had it on a little clip. And it's true. People in my family come from, they're very intent on their opinions and their desires. But I've tried to put that, that gift of stubborn under the blood of Jesus. And instead of being stubborn to doubt the things that God says, that I use that gift of stubborn to believe God for what he says. So years ago, I had this situation going on, and I let it go on for 1 week and 2 weeks. So I was young at the time and, you know, healthy, and all of a sudden things are going on in my body. And I let it linger, and it developed into something serious and more life-threatening. And a nurse in our congregation got me in to see a doctor, and come to find out it had developed into pneumonia into both lungs. And so now I don't have time for that. I don't have time for this. Right now, like I said earlier, I'm very thankful that I have a guest speaker this weekend, because I've gotten older, and I realize my body needs rest. And so my voice is going to need some rest. You may hear this go on for a few days, but I want you to know I've not hesitated to reach out and say, hey, I need some help. In fact, the day before yesterday, I was at the doctor, and he says, well, the good news is your body has started fighting this off already. It just needs a little help. It just needs a little help. And you may be going through some issues right now, and you may be resisting, you may be fighting, but today I want you to know that you've got someone who is there to help you. Jesus said he would send us the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one who is called alongside to help. Jesus is our advocate, our legal representative, who is there to help us. He is there to assist us. And so I just want to encourage you today. You are not in a day and time where you are solely limited to a self-help exercise. You have been given access to the throne of grace, where you and I are supposed to come boldly before the throne of grace, get this, to find help in our time of need. And today, if you have started fighting these things and yet you've not experienced the victory, I want to tell you there's a phrase that it occurs a couple of times. It occurs in the Old Testament. It occurs again in the New Testament. And that is this, that there is a decree that comes from the throne, and it's directed at Satan, and it says on two occasions, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. And I want you to know that when the Lord rebukes you, that you are thereby officially rebuked beyond appeal, beyond resistance. And so today, if you are struggling with some issues, I just pray today that there would be a decree. Psalm 107:20 says that the Lord sent forth his word and healed them of all their sicknesses and their diseases. And so today, could we just cry out, maybe right here in the beginning of the program, and say, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you, sickness. The Lord rebuke you, depression. The Lord rebuke you, you spirit of infirmity and spirit of poverty. The Lord rebuke you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So, Reuben cries out, and he says, therefore all this distress has come upon us. Let's move on. And Reuben answered them, saying, did I not speak to you? Do not sin against the boy, and you would not listen. Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us. But they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter. So here Reuben is saying, I told you so. And he recognizes, he said, do not sin against the boy. Do not sin against the boy. You and I are called to love one another. We are called to treat one another with respect. We're supposed to treat people with compassion, and we're not supposed to be sinning against one another. You know, the Ten Commandments can be summed up in two parts. The first four are about loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to honor him, to honor his day, to honor the last six deal with the way that we are supposed to treat one another. And so Christians are not supposed to be in the taking advantage of one another business. We are supposed to be in the blessing business. Abraham's first communication, or one of his first communications from God, was, I will bless you and make you a blessing. He says, I will bless all the nations of the earth because of what I'm going to do in your life. I heard a testimony at the conference that I was at. It was a church that runs 100 people in their Sunday school. They have taken on to support, and if I told you the name of the town, you would never have heard of it. I'd never heard of it. It's not near a major metropolitan area. It is out in the middle of no place. And that church has taken it upon themselves to support every missionary in the state that they live in, every missionary in the state directly to the south of them, and they are working on supporting every missionary to the state on the other side of them. Now, I don't know how many missionaries that is, but when the pastor presented that to the congregation, they said, there's no way that we can do that. And he asked them a question. He said, do you suppose that we could bless every missionary that we're talking about with a penny a month, with one penny a month? And they said, well, of course we could do that. And he kept raising it up. He was doing the reverse of what Abraham did when he was pleading for Lot and Sodom. And he got it up, and I don't remember the figure that he got it up to. And finally, at the end, he said, now, how many of you were really embarrassed when I asked you if you thought that we could step out in faith and support these missionaries for one penny a month? And they all raised their hand, and he asked them this question. Were you more embarrassed about the penny a month, or were you more embarrassed when we were not doing anything? And so I want to challenge you today. We're here on a Friday, and that is this: let's no longer make excuses for why we cannot be a blessing to people, and let's challenge ourselves to believe God that he is going to use us to be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. Reuben says here in verse number 20, therefore, his blood is now required of us. Remember, they think he's dead. They think he's dead. But they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter. We're going to close here on a high note today. I remember reading an article or watching a documentary about World War II. And it was about, I believe it was Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Winston Churchill and Joseph Stalin were all having these high-level meetings because they were all fighting the Nazis. And so FDR and Winston Churchill both spoke the same language. And so whenever they wanted to say something that they didn't want anybody to interpret, they would begin to speak in English. What they didn't understand was that Joseph Stalin spoke English. And so at some point in time, they began to catch on that he was understanding the things that they didn't want him to understand. And so they told a joke in English, and both of them knew what was coming. And what happened was when they told the joke, Stalin laughed, and all of a sudden they understood that the things they thought they were saying in private, that he actually understood. Reuben and the brothers, they were speaking in Hebrew, but in their mind they were negotiating with an Egyptian. What they didn't know was that Egyptian was their brother and he spoke Hebrew. The devil would have us to believe that God does not understand the things that we are going through. I've not always been a full-time pastor. At one point in time, I was working in a manufacturing plant, and when I was in college, I was transferring from one school to another. I was going to a junior college at night, and I was working during the day. I was a saw operator and a pipe threader, and so I was witnessing to the people that I was working with. And there was a person that was not a believer, had no intention of being a believer. And he said, well, when I die and when I get to heaven, I am going to explain to God exactly how it was down here. And I want you to know that that's a very arrogant statement. First of all, it's also an erroneous statement, because Jesus knows what you're going through. He understands what you're going through. The incarnation of Jesus Christ, when he took flesh and dwelt among us, it was not just to seek and to save the lost, but he experienced temptation in every manner just like we have, but without sin. He understands your environment. He understands the challenges that you are going through. He understands, and he has a solution for you. Why don't we cry out today in faith and say, God, we may have messed up in the past. We may have blown it in the past, but God, we're going to cry out for mercy today. And Lord, even though we may not speak perfectly the language of heaven, I'm so thankful that you understand the language of a broken heart, the language of faith. And, you know, the scripture says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. I have said that God has a tremendous sound system, that he can take our praise and our worship, and even though it's not perfect, he can push the buttons and pull the knobs, or push the buttons and turn the knobs, slide the sliders, and he can make that which is imperfect sound really good. I don't know if you know that these singers, a lot of them that have recording, they have sound equipment that modifies their voice to remove the imperfections. I want you to know God understands where you're at. Let's pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I want to thank you for forgiveness. Lord, I pray for anybody who has sown the wrong type of seed. They've sown to the flesh and instead of to the spirit. I pray, God, today for forgiveness, and I pray for crop failure in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that everyone would understand this, that you know, you love them, you care for them, and you want to come and bless them and make them a blessing. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me.